Welcome to Murder with the Misses. I'm Darren.
And I'm Amy. And today we're going to tell you the story of Crystal Rogers. Now here's another one that's making some headlines recently, but we didn't want to wait until the trials were over to put it out there. The wheels of the justice system turn really slow, and it could be a few years before there's a full conclusion. Some of my fellow true crime followers may already know this story, but I will start from the beginning for those who are just finding out about it, because it has a lot of different aspects to it. I will try to go in a timeline format so you can have an idea as to how things unfolded.
Great, let's get into it.
Today we're talking about the disappearance of 35-year-old Crystal Rogers, who lived in Bardstown, Kentucky, which is about 40 miles southeast of Louisville. She was the oldest child of Tommy and Sherry Ballard, and they had a close relationship. Her parents are very important in this case. Crystal was also a mother of 5 children. She was married to the father of 2 of her children, but the relationship ended in divorce. So she moved into a rental house in Bardstown that was owned by Brooks Houks. It is reported that he had over 70 rental properties, and tax records back then showed he owned at least 130 parcels of property in this town. So the family name was very well known, and he was reportedly a multimillionaire.
I would imagine he was, with all that income coming in each month.
Very true. Yeah, property, my grandpa always used to tell me that they're not making any more land, so anytime you can get property, get it.
True.
And it's said that he also builds houses in this area, so he had that going too. He had a farm, and his family had a farm in town as well. On a side note, he even ran for sheriff in 2014, but he lost. Crystal renting the house from him is how the two actually met. Reports are that when they started dating, he came over to meet her family, and it was actually her parents that were trying to make the good impression on Brooks instead of the other way around because of how high the family name was held in the community. The relationship started out good, and her family was happy for her since she was a struggling single mother at the time who was working 2 jobs after the divorce. But the honeymoon phase didn't last long. Crystal reportedly came over to her parents' house once with a bruise on her shoulder that she got while skeet shooting with Brooks.
Well, we're all familiar with recoil on a shotgun. If you don't hold it properly, it will kick back and it can cause bruising.
That's true. But the upsetting part is that they had been shooting and everything was fine until Brooks decided to play a prank on Crystal and changed out the shell so that the recoil would be worse. And when it was, and she got hurt, he thought it was funny.
That's weirdly mean.
Yeah, that's really weird, you know, humor.
Why would he play around with a gun in the first place? You know, it's just too many things can go wrong.
Yeah, it's just, he's not a smart man.
Yeah.
But you'll see that he's arrogant, loud, deceiving, narcissistic. He's an all-around manipulator. And as timid as Crystal was, you'll see that he was intimidating to her too. Now, Crystal ended up getting pregnant with their son, Eli, and she moved in with Brooks at his farm. Once Eli was born, it was clear that he treated him differently than her other 4 children. For instance, when they would go grocery shopping, Brooks would pay for things that were for him, Crystal, and Eli, but would make Crystal pay for anything that her other kids needed.
So her multi-million dollar boyfriend, who supposedly loved her.
Right. Treated her kids like shit.
Yeah, okay. So he's...
Assholes like that make me wish I had so many more middle fingers.
Yeah. I mean, either way, you married or you got into this relationship, you knew what you were getting into.
You take the mom, you take the kids.
Exactly.
If you don't want them, you don't want her. Bye. I mean, simple.
How many kids have we took in that just were friends?
That's very true. That's very true. Family is family.
And we still feed them today.
Today. But just like us. People could see the cracks in the relationship, of course. Crystal wanted to leave him, but he had money and power. Plus, they had Eli. She was worried that he would make it really hard on her or take Eli away from her. Also, I feel like I need to mention that just before Crystal disappeared, Brooks ran into Crystal's sister at Walmart, and the sister said he was asking about their aunt. Now, she was killed back in 1979. Her vehicle was found on the Ohio River with her purse inside in 1982. And then later that year, her body was found on a farm in Nelson County. She had been shot to death, But Brooks was so adamant about getting the details of her death and the finding her car, and just he wanted all the details. It freaked her sister out, and she left her cart in the aisle and walked right out the front door. He was that intense. But that's just to show his weirdness. Now back to Crystal's story. On July 3rd, 2015, she told people that her and Brooks were going to have a date night out at the farm feeding the cattle.
Well, who said romance is dead?
Not Brooks. He knew how to treat a lady. But Crystal was seen on Walmart surveillance footage with some of her kids earlier in the day, footage that her dad, Tommy, actually obtained. She got a sitter for her two kids, took the other two to her ex-husband, and then her and Eli, who was now two at the time, went to the family farm, or to the farm, yeah. It actually rained pretty hard that night, but Brooks reported that they went out and fed cattle at the family farm and didn't get finished until around midnight. They got back home, and he went to bed, leaving her on the couch playing games on her phone. When he woke up the next morning, Eli was there, but Crystal was nowhere to be found. This is a story that he told police and even Nancy Grace later on. But on that day, he said he got Eli ready and headed to the family farm where there was a family event happening that day. He tried to call Crystal, but she didn't answer.
She just up and left in the middle of the night, leaving her son and other kids, and was never seen again, according to him.
According to him.
That's just too weird.
Right? Now, later he would change his story to say that usually when they got into a fight, she would leave and spend a couple days with her friend Sabrina and wouldn't talk to him.
Oh, but so he changed his story later on to say they actually had a fight.
Right.
But he never mentioned that before.
Nope. Never mentioned a fight.
Gotcha.
Now, the argument was about how unfairly he treated her other children. And it wasn't until Crystal's daughter called Crystal's mom, Sherry, 2 days later on the 5th, and raised concerns about not being able to get a hold of Crystal. When Sherry asked Brooks about it, she said she was going to file a missing persons report, and he said, you should do that. And they did. And this is where it starts taking a lot of turns. So I will try to keep the story straight enough to follow. There's a lot of information. There was immediately reports of a car matching Crystal's car's description, abandoned on Bluegrass Parkway. A man coming home at around 10:30 on the night that Crystal was last seen noticed the car. When he went back to work the next morning, the car was still there.
So there's flaws in Brooks' timeline. He said he and Crystal were together until after midnight when he went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But the car was seen at 10 o'clock or 10:30. That doesn't add up.
Like, why was her car on the side of the road if she was with him?
Yeah.
Wouldn't her car be at his house? Their house?
Well, yeah, exactly.
And if it's not, why are they not getting the car off the side of the road? You just leave it there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is why I mentioned Crystal's aunt's murder that Brooks was drilling her sister about at the Walmart. Because Crystal's car was found near where the aunt's body was recovered. So it just looked like a really big coincidence. When Crystal's dad, Tommy, and her brother went to look at the car, they said there were tire marks on the road. The car had a flat tire. Her seat was not in her weird normal driving position that she always drove in. And her uncharged phone, purse, and keys were inside.
Her family said that she had a flat before and drove until the rim was damaged because she didn't want to stop until on the side of the road. She wanted to stop somewhere safe.
Right.
So she wouldn't have left her car there, you know.
Just because of a flat.
Just because of a flat. And also there was a couple reports that I read on this one where the tire wasn't quite flat.
It was like minimal damage.
Yeah. So she could have still drove it.
And she would have.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. She definitely would have.
Yeah. So it doesn't add up.
And they're saying that I said she had a weird driving position because the way they describe her driving her car was the seat all the way up, but the back almost all the way down. So almost in a laying down position is how she drove this car. But when they got in there, it was like in more of a normal position. So like, that's not how she does it. Cause
well, they said it was like slid all the way back.
Somebody very tall.
Like somebody taller than her,
mm-hmm.
Slid it back. And so it wasn't her position. Basically, they said that she slid hers all the way forward
all the way
and then leaned the seat back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so for it to be scooted back and up in an upright position, that's just, that means somebody else drove the car.
It's a red flag.
Yeah.
For sure. And she wouldn't have left her purse, keys, and phone in the car either if she had pulled it over intentionally and left it there. So when the police looked at the car, they actually took 10 pieces of evidence from the car, including one fingerprint. But then they immediately released the car to the family. So here we go again. The family was already seeing all the red flags. They put the car in storage to try to preserve it so that any evidence that was missed could be taken later, because even they were like, this isn't thorough enough, this isn't right. And the cops were like, we're good, go ahead and take it, as we see a lot. But chain of evidence would have already been broken at this point. The family did put up a $25,000 reward for information, and they went to work.
And this, you know, and this is yet another case where that we've done that, where the parents have pushed,
yes,
all day, every day, just to get answers. I mean,
right?
You got to look at the dad, Tommy.
Yeah,
he has done more investigating on this case. He went out and actually got all their surveillance and basically mapped out a timeline.
He did.
I remember reading the reports or seeing the reports on that stuff that were. He was basically mapping everything out, the whole route.
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive for somebody.
It is.
That doesn't normally do this type of stuff.
I mean, we'll get into some of the stuff that he did, but we couldn't even tell you all the stuff that he did. He wasn't even seen in public without a crystal shirt on.
Yeah.
To raise, and they are bright orange. Like, yeah, he's wearing.
It, yeah, they said, what is it, prayers for Crystal, or?
I may have it listed later. I can't remember exactly the wording, but either way.
I think he said prayers for Crystal.
So he was bringing awareness just by his presence, not to mention all the stuff that he was doing. Mm-hmm. And they have had signs out since she went missing, like signs on the side of the road. They have Facebook pages. Like I said, they have shirts that him and other people wore around town. And they wear every time they do an interview, every time they talk to people. They were doing a separate investigation, which was necessary, apparently.
Please tell me you got some of the signs that you know what they say.
Well, hers were the crystal signs, but there are some other signs we're going to talk about later that, good, yes, I do know what they, okay, say.
Because I want to share that, because those signs are like...
They're great.
They're great.
They're great.
Whoever put them out, kudos to you. I don't blame you.
Bravo. It's probably the only time we'll ever use our clap sound button on our sound.
Maybe. If I can find it.
Brooks, however, never helped with searches or anything. He said he didn't feel welcome, too. So let me run down a quick timeline for the rest of the year. July 8th, Brooks is interviewed by the sheriff's department. You can watch this online, and it's one to watch. During his interview, he gets a phone call from his brother, Nick. Now, Nick is a police officer there with the Bardstown Police Department. The way they have this conversation seems very staged, almost like he has to say everything so that an audience knows what's going on, like he's on TV or in a play. And Brooks keeps saying things like how he's innocent and hasn't done anything wrong, and that he doesn't believe that she ran off with some other guy. You know, just things like that. And I'll do exactly what you're telling me to do. Do you want me to get up and leave? And when he hangs up the phone, he says, he thinks y'all are going to fuck us. That's what he thinks.
And we've got the audio right here, so we want you guys to listen to it and see what you guys think.
This is not their family. This is not. All right, thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, that right there, I mean, just the way it sounds and everything, it sounds like it's just staged.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, hey, you call me at this time. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just like a blind date.
Oh.
You know, oh, what the? We got an avalanche? Oh, my God.
Oh, the safety call to get me out of the date call.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
it is. I mean, that's all it was. Anyway, his brother, who is a cop himself, is saying that the cops are going to screw you, you know, somehow screw you over, you know, basically.
Yeah, that's how it played out.
I mean, you know, and that's the whole thing. His brother, was it Nick?
Yeah, Nick.
So his brother Nick was working for
Bardstown Police
Department. Bardstown Police Department. And the investigator, which is
Jon Snow,
and he's basically told everybody that Jon Snow is a crooked investigator.
Yeah, he talks heavy shit on Jon Snow.
And this is just what we've kind of uncovered when we're kind of looking this stuff up and everything. And I mean, you know, it's all speculation and everything. So I mean, but I thought it was kind of interesting facts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and he does get up and leave, and that was suspicious to the cops too. So they looked into Nick a little bit after this and found surveillance showing the two brothers heading out towards the farm later that day that Brooks was interviewed.
Yeah, it was like minutes.
Yeah, it was.
Like within 30 minutes.
Very quickly after.
Yeah.
They're both seen going out there, both seen coming back hours later. Now, on July 15th, Nick had to be ordered by the police chief to be interviewed. He would not come in and do it. He denied going to the farm with Brooks after Brooks was interviewed on the 8th. But the cops know better. You know, they've seen the surveillance. You can't fake that. So on July 20th, the FBI tells Nick to take a polygraph, which he declines. But he does take one a few days later on the 24th. And he failed miserably. He gets really heated when they ask him about it, saying he don't care what their fucking computers say. The polygraph examiner told the police chief that he had grave concerns about this interview. And on September 9th, Nick is suspended without pay. It was found out that he would sleep on the job. There were an instance where a teen was missing and he wouldn't report it. And now there's this weird behavior in Crystal's case. He's officially fired in October.
And it sounds like it was all catching up, you know, up with him finally.
Yeah, and they were really talking about how, because when they would ask him questions, like, you went out to the farm with Nick or with Brooks that day, and he's like, I don't recall that. I don't remember that. And like, you don't remember going out to the farm? No, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Do you remember why? No, I don't remember going out there. And they're like, you're a cop. Like, this is your job. Your job is to remember things.
Yeah. And you guys don't think that we're here just to bash on cops or anything like that.
It sounds like it.
Because, I mean, you know, because a lot of our stories, you know, it sounds like we're trying to bash on cops. The whole thing is like, yes, I will say something if it's bad investigation work, if it's bad police work, but if you're actually a police officer that's actually trying to do your damn job,
right?
You know what? I will praise you and everything. I mean, because that's what we need. We need cops that are actually willing to do the job they signed up for.
Yep.
So we're not here just to bash on y'all or anything else. It just seems like we get a lot of cases that we're researching where there's at least one that's not doing their job.
This is the problem with these cases. That's why they're cases. Because a lot of this time, cops are either involved or they're doing shitty work. And that's the problem with these. This is why they're still outstanding. This is why they can't be solved. So we're just reporting things that we see. If it's shitty police work, it is. And we're going to call it out.
And Jon Snow, he's been on this case since day one.
He's been pushing it forward.
I mean, you know, until what, the new one took over and... I think they said 2019 or something like that.
He was on it for a while.
Yeah.
Doing his best.
But he was on it every day.
Yeah, he was doing his job.
But don't quote me on the 2019. I'm not really sure about that part. But I know he's been on it for quite a while. Ever since day one, basically. He's been the front runner of this one.
Agreed. Now, the family believes, well, back then they believed, that she was killed in the barn on the farm. And that her body was dumped in the lake. Over the years, there were multiple times that cadaver dogs were hitting at the same place as the lake, but searching it never produced anything. They say that the bottom is too bad to be able to see or find anything, so it's really hard to get down there. Now, in 2015, they did gather a grand jury, which everyone who could attend did. But later, when they were able to search the Houck family farm, because it took them a long time to get out there, they found micro recorders in the pocket of a jacket in a closet. It appears several Houck family members had recorded grand jury proceedings, which is a big no-no.
Very illegal.
It's actually, yeah, it's a misdemeanor. But there is a 1-year statute of limitations to prosecute that crime. And by the time they found the recorders, it was too late. In August of 2016, a white Buick was said to have been seen near where Crystal's car was found on the same night. When asking for people to contact the police with any information on that, they were directed to the Houck brothers' 82-year-old grandmother. She had a white Buick. When asked about it, she said that she had sold it to a dealer. Now, she did take them to this dealer, and they still had the car, so they were able to search it. Under the seat, there was a GPS unit, so they were able to take that. And there was fluid stains that they took samples of as well. They have not released the results of either of these at this time. But when Grandma was asked the details, like who had the car that night and things like that, she pled the fifth, which is her right, but it just adds to the suspicion. In 2017, Brooke started dating another woman named Crystal, and she was actually arrested in July of that year for stealing those roadside signs for Crystal Rogers' disappearance. She was arrested but released 30 minutes later. But once this happened, this is what Darren was talking about earlier. Once this happened, more signs started appearing, but they weren't from Crystal's family. They were being placed by other members of the community. And they said things like, Nick failed a polygraph. Brooks Houck is the only suspect in the disappearance of Crystal Rogers. And ride the wave. It's worked out so far, which was something that Brooks had said in an interview before. But then at the bottom of that, they put, we're praying for sharks. July 18th of 2018, Brooks was arrested for 8 counts of felony theft because he stole roofing shingles from Lowe's. He was later acquitted of that, though.
What the hell's happening? The family's nuts.
Well, he did build houses, so I guess he was just trying to get him some free materials.
He's a multimillionaire.
That's how you stay that way. You
what
steal
the
shit.
Hell ever? You freaking, he's building houses all the damn time. You're a multimillionaire, and you can't go freaking...
Get some shingles
from Lowe's.
Oh, he got them.
Good Lord.
He just didn't pay for them.
What a tool bag.
He is a tool bag. They're all shady, the whole family. And we're going to talk about Crystal's dad, Tommy, now. We talked about him a little bit, but this one ended a little different. On November 19th of 2019, Tommy took Crystal's 10-year-old son out on a hunting trip on the Ballards' land, which is actually adjacent to the Houck family land. They always went hunting on opening week of rifle season, so it's a known fact. There were a couple of other family members that were there, but they had already split off to go to their separate hunting spots. Crystal's son said that he pulled his gun up to look through the scope to get a better look at something when he heard a gunshot. But it wasn't from Tommy's gun. Tommy had actually been shot in the chest by someone from across the farm. Crystal's son called 911 with Tommy's phone while Tommy was trying to tell him something, but he couldn't speak. By the time police arrived, Tommy had died. Police noticed that through the trees from where the shot came from, there were some trees that had the limbs cut, so it looked like someone intentionally cut them to have a clearer line of sight.
You know, and that's so sad. You know, he was the main one leading the charge in this search, you know, for Crystal.
Yeah.
He actually posted on Facebook for, you know, about 10 days before he died, saying that he was about to go across the state line to another place to investigate something in Crystal's case. They speculated that maybe the killer saw this and knew he was onto something and, you know, had to try to stop him or whatever.
Yeah. It was very coincidental.
Or not try to stop him. They did stop
him. They did. Yeah. He was very excited about this new development. So they knew that, I mean, that's why he posted it. He was super excited. He felt it was a really good lead. And then all of a sudden this happened. But once he passed away, they found all of his, like, notebooks and just so much information from his investigation.
Yeah.
Now, on July 23rd, 2020, human remains were found near the Houck family farm, so it raised hope in this search for Crystal. But they were able to determine that they were not Crystal's. I don't see any reports as to who the remains actually belonged to. But let's get to the turning point. On August 6th of 2020, the FBI became the lead investigators on the case, and they raided Brooke's and Nick's house, collecting evidence. But they went to investigating quietly, keeping things close, and they still do that for the most part. So they can only release so much stuff to the public, and they're trying to keep as much as they can to themselves, which is very smart in an investigation. So they're going about it the right way. When Crystal disappeared, Brooks had three houses being built in a neighborhood that was roughly 2 miles from his own house. And in 2021, the FBI went out and used ground penetrating radar and other things to investigate. And on the third day that they were there, they started tearing up one of the driveways. They have not revealed what, if anything, was found. So that's another thing that they're keeping quiet. Fast forward to September 8th of 2023, where suddenly 32-year-old Joseph Lawson was arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit murder and tampering with evidence. He pled not guilty, and his bond was set for $500,000. He tried to get a bond reduction because he was in a wheelchair now due to a motorcycle wreck, and says he's not a flight risk. But he has a lengthy history of domestic violence, so he was denied. On September 27th of 2023, 41-year-old Brooks Houck was arrested and charged with Crystal's murder. He pled not guilty and has a $10 million cash bond. He has tried to get a reduction, saying he doesn't have as much money as they think he has, but as shady as his family is, he probably has stashes of cash in multiple places that he can get his hands on, so he also was denied. Most recently, on December 8th of 2023, 53-year-old Stephen Lawson, who is Joseph's father, was arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit murder and tampering with evidence as well. His bond was initially set for $500,000 too, but he did get an approved bond reduction down to $250,000 because he doesn't have a violent criminal history, nor does he have the funds to be able to make the bond. Even though he was caught and arrested at his mother's house in Indiana, they didn't see him as a flight risk, but stated he likely won't be able to make the bond even at the lowered amount, so he's okay to go ahead and get that.
But still, I mean, if he ran to Indiana, that shows that he's a flight risk, so I don't understand all that.
Right. Now, he said he didn't actually flee to Indiana like he was trying to get away. He was there for work, so I guess he thought that made it okay. But that shows he has ties in other states and can just go at the drop of a hat. And this is where we are for Crystal Rogers' case. But there are some other murders that came to the forefront because of Crystal's case. On May 25th, 2013, Nick's partner on the police force, 33-year-old Jason Ellis, was on his way home after his shift when he stopped to move tree branches out of the road, and he was shot multiple times with a 12-gauge shotgun and died. There is a $50,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the killer in his case. Also on April 21st, 2014, 48-year-old school teacher Kathy Netherland and her 16-year-old daughter Samantha Netherland were murdered in their home. Samantha had been stabbed with her throat cut, and Kathy had been stabbed and shot. Both had also been beaten. They have little to go on except that between 2006 and 2013, black Chevy Impala is believed to be involved. There's also a $50,000 reward for information in this case as well.
They have nothing to link these cases together, but all these cases unsolved in a span of 3 years is suspicious.
It is. And they were saying, you know, because Jason Ellis was Nick's ex-partner, they're saying that maybe his death was as a result of covering up something, or he had uncovered something that Nick had done, or you never know on that one. And then the teacher and her daughter, some people said it was drug related, but nobody in their lives said that they had any relation to drugs, but you never know. So we just thought we would mention them because, as we said, that's a lot of unsolved murders in one small space in a small amount of time. And the population around this time was about 12,000 people. So it is considered to be kind of a small town, I guess, to some people, not us, but
no, not at all.
So that's where we are with the case. We're awaiting trial, which could be a long time from now, and the family's been reported as saying that they expect up to 3 more arrests in Crystal's case. So it sounds like they still have some stuff to go on. Right now, all 3 men have requested a change of venue due to all the media coverage, and prosecutors are actually trying to try all 3 men together. They will review that request on March 21st of this year. So that tells you that all this is unfolding as we speak. And we will definitely be updating this one when that's done.
Because didn't you, you didn't, I don't know if, did you say it or not, but they, the gun, Nick, they went undercover and bought the gun under another name.
They did. So Nick actually used a fake name.
Yes.
And sold a rifle to the police.
Yes.
Unknowingly. It was like an undercover kind of situation. And when they tested that gun, it actually matches 4 out of the 5 criteria to the same gun that killed Tommy Ballard.
Exactly. So, I mean.
But he has not been arrested yet. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, but I mean, that's something though. Because I mean, you know, that Nick's just a freaking idiot.
Why would you? You're a cop. Okay.
You're down. Yeah. You're a cop. You're an ex-cop because you
still know how it works.
Because you're a joke to the uniform.
There's that.
But
yeah, he should have known better. He just, that was just ignorance. There's no getting around that.
No.
He's just dumb.
Yeah, that was ignorant. I hope these killers get brought to justice.
And, allegedly.
And I hope that, maybe they find some answers out for these Crystal Rogers, plus maybe they find something about these other ones that just pop up within this short span, too.
Yeah, that's just weird.
That is kind of weird. You know, what is that, 3 other people?
3 other people, yeah.
Yeah, and Tommy. So that's 4 other people.
Well, we know what happened to Tommy.
Yeah, I know. We know what we feel like happened and everything, but they got to get that 5th criteria.
If they can, because without a shell casing, you know, because you always look for striations or whatever on the bullet, and they don't have a bullet.
I'm kind of hoping, because they're so. What I'm thinking is that, you know, because they're not really releasing a lot on everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're just telling you that they got 4 criteria out of 5.
Right.
But I'm hoping that maybe they got like the smoking gun or whatever, where like they might have found the bullet.
Oh, I wish they did.
You know what I mean? Because if they found the bullet that passed through him and then they did ballistics and matched it up that way, you're done.
You're done.
That's your 5th criteria. It doesn't need a shell casing.
To me, and I'm just going to say this in my opinion, if I was on this jury, I wouldn't need that 5th criteria.
No, if you already matched up 4, hello, see ya.
Yeah, 4 out of 5, not bad.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Plus all this tied together with it, I mean, you can't ignore all of this.
No, not at all. I mean, it's just, it just basically, it comes down to this family had a lot of money.
That's another recurring theme we see in some of our stories.
Who's got the money?
Mm-hmm.
And this family had a lot of money, thought their shit didn't stink. Guess what? You guys are getting caught up in a lot.
Yeah, that's really sad.
Yep. But anyway, that's our story on this one right here. Guys, I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys don't mind, like, share, subscribe.
Tell your friends.
Make sure you guys check us out on Spotify. And all the other platforms.
All of them.
Yep. We appreciate you guys. Catch you on the next one.
Bye.